Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. Politics on the Navajo Nation, brought to you by Cal Nez Design, and hosted by Cal Nez himself.
You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. We are on the air. You're listening to Navajo Talk Radio, Politics on the Navajo Nation, hosted by Cal Nez. The purpose of this radio show is to discuss issues, to talk about issues, to bring out on every issue that is a topic and to address it. It doesn't mean that I am supporting one candidate or not supporting a candidate. We're looking at the laws. we're looking at a lot of cases uncharted waters. And it's a good thing that these laws are being challenged. Because they weren't set up in the first place. So, telephone number here is 347-989-0048. And it's really not that difficult to listen to it on the internet. When I was on the res, I was able to log in, and when you go to www.blogtalkradio.com, you can go there and you'll go to the actual main page, and you can have, there's a little search button there. I usually click on there and put in Politics on the Navajo Nation or even CalNez, and it'll take you to that page. Once my page pops up, scroll up and down, depending on whether you're on the a tablet, whether you're on the computer, whether you're on the cell phone. It is it's there. You have to scroll around and find the different episodes. And mine, on all three, my cell phone, my tablet, and my computer. Once I go to that website, it gives me a little box, and it has the picture of the logo on there, and there's that little circle grayed out in the middle of that thing that has a little play button on it. When I push that play button, but there's a little red flag or a little red note that says live. And I click on that one, and it takes me right there. And the way that you listen in is that then the picture comes up, and then you push the button, and it goes to play. And you can listen in on the internet. So it's very perplexing to me how that, some people are saying they can't get online. So, time to call in, 347-989-0048. I'm waiting for your call. I'm waiting to hear from you. And just to give you an update, tonight's topic is about Ben Shelley, the president of the Navajo Nation, vetoing legislation to change the language. So I called the office of the speaker. I asked for an official statement. I call the Navajo Nation Judicial Supreme Court. I also called the Office of the President. And basically all of them, they just said to me, I'll just send you our press release. So that's kind of where it's at. So, ladies and gentlemen, please call in. So, I am going to go into a little break, and I will be right back. Oh! Okay, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, Navajo Talk Radio, hosted by Cal Nez. Tonight's topic is Ben Shelley's veto. So if any of you have a question, interest, opinion, comment, complaint, in favor, opposing, please call in. And again, we have about an hour and 13 minutes. So I will have the phone lines are open. So what do you think about Ben Shelley's veto? And I'll give you a little bit of the history about this. Once we get a little bit of commotion, I'm posting on Facebook while I'm doing this thing, so that's why I'm just being a little distracted to try to get some people to come on air. And so some very interesting scenario. So please call in, and I want to hear from you. And, you know, I'm really wanting to hear from people. I am interested in trying to hear from everybody, the ones that are making a lot of the commotion, a lot of things that are being said on the internet, on Facebook. I am, you know, I really want to hear from you. I want to hear what your opinions are. It's one thing saying things on the internet than it is to be able to voice and share your opinion, because these are some serious issues that are facing our Navajo Nation. I am looking to hear from Greg H. Bigman. And where is Percy Anderson? Where is, let me see, I'm just scrolling down, Thomas Smith and Bo Shulo Brown, Raider C. Begay. I want to hear from these people. Anna, Ray Holgate, Wendy C. Dawes Page, Mike Nez, Katarina Nelson, Doogie Ann, who is Dorothy Anderson. I want to hear from Keith Stone, who is Leon Curley. I want to hear from Des Darius Barney, Teresa Attikai, Norman Patrick Brown, Juju Charlie, Gloria Tagai Miller. You guys post a lot on the internet. And I want to hear from Calafrida Bowling. I want to hear from Bay Herbert. I want to hear from Nanace Ray, Tina Begay. I want to hear from Raymond Lancer, Hashkekiomia, and the one person that I really want to hear from is Martin L. Begay. Martin L. Begay, you know, I want to hear from you. Dolores Puente Begay. So there's a lot of stuff going on. So ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we're on air right now. We're talking about the Ben Shelley veto, and I will read the press releases from the president's office and also from the office of from the judicial branch, from the Supreme Court. They sent me some press releases, and so please give me a call. 347-989-0048. Martin L. Begay, the director of the Navajo Nation Parks and Recreation. You know, I want to hear from you and see what your thoughts are. So it's not that difficult. You just dial in, and like I said, I'll be waiting for your calls. So without further ado, like I said, I'm just trying to announce this on the internet, and I don't know how many people are responding or, you know what, I mean, there's a lot of people on here, lots of people, but, you know, I want to hear what you think. So, you know, please know that the emphasis on this whole thing on the radio show is really sharing information. It is not about trying to bring somebody down. You know what? This is not about a specific candidate. It's about the process of the election. And I don't know where and how much more I need to express that when I post something on Facebook, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going against one person. The biggest thing that I'm beginning to see is that the issue is about the Navajo Nation and the way that our laws are set up. It's very clear that the Navajo Nation Council had to get involved in order to kind of get this thing moving in the right direction. So, again, the telephone lines are open, 347-989-0048. Call in. We are here, and you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. This is Cal Mez. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, the official Navajo talk radio. We have a press release, and this is tonight's topic is about the veto by the president of the Navajo Nation on Navajo Nation Council Resolution Number CO-47-14, and this press release was sent to me from Mr. Rick Abasta, who is the communication director for the Office of the President and Vice President, and this is the official statement or their press release in reference to the veto. The headline reads, President Shelley makes a stand for Navajo language, vetoes council resolution. And here is the article. It's kind of long, but, you know, let's keep in mind that these information are going to be very important as to what went into his thoughts while he vetoed. In an independent action to preserve the laws, President Ben Shelley vetoed the Navajo Nation Council number CO-47-14 this afternoon. Quote, the decision to amend the language requirement in Title 11 and the Navajo Nation election code must be brought before the Navajo people through a referendum vote, President Shelley said. This decision far too important, and it is one the people need to decide on. We are a nation of laws. I took an oath to uphold the law, he added. The office of the president and vice president received the legislation on October 24, 2014 at 10:56 p.m. By a vote of 11 to 10, the 22nd Navajo Nation Council passed a resolution after midnight the same day to amend the language requirement of the Navajo Nation Election Code. The veto was nodded at 10:10 before Speaker Pro Temp Lorenzo Bates cast the deciding vote to approve the amendment. The amendment by the council are the first major overhaul to the election code since 1990. The amended language to the Navajo Nation Council, Title 11, Section 8, Subsection 8, regarding qualification to hold office as the president and the vice president, states must fluently speak and understand Navajo and read and write English, which language proficiency shall be determined by the people voting in favor of the person upon the right and the freedom of the Diné to choose their leaders. Other similar language amended were made to the qualification requirement for candidates running for council delegates, chapter officials, land board, farm board, district grazing committee, school board, and the Navajo Nation Board of Education. President Shelley said, while the language amendment are a step in the right direction, other consideration must be taken into account, such as the possibility of a woman president and the language requirement for other office such as council delegate. He said, rather than a piecemeal approach to amending concerns with the Navajo Nation election code, that instead tribal leaders provide a thorough review of the code to address any future controversies that may arise. However, this may take time, he said. This election cycle has been mired in debate and controversy over regarding the fluency qualification of candidates for elected office, President Shelley said. The September 26, 2014 decision by the Navajo Nation Supreme Court provided an interpretation of the meaning of and standard for fluency. He said, this should be the standard until the people have been consulted. The Nebizad is sacred. Navajo leaders should have both language and cultural fluency in order to qualify. Every society has an obligation to hold on to their tradition, President Shelley said. Despite the divisive nature of the requirement, he said, it is essential that this fundamental issue be addressed through a referendum vote brought before the Navajo people to decide on. He said, the Navajo Nation must commit resources to ensure that the Navajo children know and understand their language and culture. This can be achieved by the next administration through employee programs, school programs, technology, and interaction between Navajo elders and children. Quote, the Navajo Nation Supreme Court ordered the 2014 ballots to be reprinted and the election unavoidably rescheduled to ensure a valid election. I therefore exercise my veto authority, President Shelley said. And again, that's a press release sent by the president. And so he vetoed. And those are the reasons why, is that rather than drafting a law just to remedy this situation, why not take it to the people to find out exactly what their thoughts are? And we had a caller the other night who basically expressed the same thing. Our council delegate, said this caller, he felt like that his constituency at the chapter level were not consulted. And therefore, the issue of having it come from the people should really come from the people. And it is not in this particular current administration and addressing the current issues, but rather what we should do to maintain the written law as is, not looking for something that is going to happen in the future. So that's a very, very, very interesting way to look at this thing. So now, all you listeners out there, this coming Friday, it is also going to be a hearing in Chinle, Arizona, with the Navajo Nation Supreme Court. In that hearing is an order that was given by the attorneys for Hank Whitethorn and Dale Soucy to against the Navajo Nation Board of Election Supervisors, the Navajo Nation Election Administration, and also Chris Deschitney. And they are literally asking for, I believe the word is contempt. And by that, they ought to be, they should be, they're saying, you know, they need to be thrown in jail. Those are kind of some pretty hefty, serious requests. And so, obviously, the Navajo Nation, if you don't have the Navajo Nation Election Office or the Board of Supervisors or even one of the candidates, you can't hold an election if they're in jail. So that puts up all sorts of scenarios. And so, what are your thoughts? I also call the Office of the Navajo Nation Judicial Branch. And I ask for what exactly is the order. And some paperwork was sent to me. And let's see, I'm looking at this thing. This thing says right here, let's see, Navajo Nation Supreme Court of the Navajo Nation, Dale Soucy versus Chris Deschitney, and also Hank Whitethorn versus Chris Deschitney, order setting hearing on costs and fees before Judge Yazzie Shirley Black, associated by designation, and appeal of the decision of the hearings of appeals concerning cause numbers, OHE numbers, yada, yada, yada. Hearing Officer Richie Nez presiding, David Jordan at Galvin, New Mexico for the appealant, Sophie Justin Jones, Farmington, New Mexico for appealant, White Thorn, Brian Lewis, Gallup, New Mexico for appealee, Ron Haven, Navajo, or Window Rock, Arizona, Navajo Nation, for the Akamis Akuri Navajo Nation Election Administration. The court hereby sets this matter for a hearing on costs and fees. Appealant prevail on appeal, and this court in announcing its decision on September 26, 2014, stating that the matter of costs and fees will be handled by a separate proceeding and order. The hearing will be held at 9 a.m. October 31st at Chinle District Court in Chinle. In preparation, appealant shall file an itemized statement of the amount actually and necessarily expended in the prosecution of the appeal by 2 p.m. October 29, 2014. The appellee shall file his objection to the statement of cost by 4 p.m. October 30th. The parties will argue their grounds as whether costs and fees shall be awarded. In the interim, the party are encouraged to talk among themselves to resolve this matter. Signed October 27th, 2014, and by Herb Yazzie, Shirley, and Irene Black. So that is one of the orders. And let me see. The other one is, this is very interesting. This is also press releases and information that was sent and also posted on the internet. And this one is a two-page document as well. Okay. The Navajo Nation Supreme Court, Dale Soucy and Hank Whitethorn, petitioners, versus the Navajo Nation Board of Election Supervisors and the Navajo Nation Administration, respondents. And concerning Christopher C. Deschini, real party in interest. Order to show cause. Before Yazzie H., Herb Yazzie, Chief Justice, and Eleanor Shirley, Associate Justice. An original action for writ of mandamus against the Navajo Nation Board of Election Supervisors and the Navajo Nation Election Administration concerning case number, yada, yada, yada. Hearing Officer, Chief Hearing Officer Richie Nez presiding, David Jordan names all the interested party, and it says to, written to Edison J. Winika, Director, Navajo Nation Election Administration, members of the Navajo Nation Board of Election Supervisors. In case you don't know who these members are, here they are in their name in this order to show cause. Wallace Charlie, who is the chairman, Jonathan Soule, vice chairman, Norman L. Begay, Harry D. Brown Sr., Michael Cohen, Lenora Fulton, Franny George, Ruth Watson, Tom M. White Jr. So those are the people that are now named to the order to show cause. Now, here is the request by the Supreme Court. The court hereby sets petitioners' motion to hold respondent in contempt of court and to issue an order to show cause for a hearing. The hearing will be held at 10 a.m. October 31st, 2014 at the Chinle District Court. The respondent shall file a single response to the motion by 2 o'clock, October 30th, 2014. The response shall be no longer than 10 pages in length. The court declines to order the presence of all, the court declines to order the presence of all members of the board and the director of the election administration. They appear through their attorney, the chief legislative counsel. If the court determines that there is a violation of duty by the election officers, violation of the election code, or a contentious conduct, then the court will address remedial action. Dated this October, 28th day of October 2014. And that was signed by Herb Yazzie and Eleanor Shirley. So that's one of the documents. And then here is the last document that was sent to me by the Supreme Court. This one is order setting hearing on costs and fees again. And it looks like it's basically the same thing. So they're asking two things, and that is that now they are calling upon the first one. They had just brought in Krista Sheeny. Now they have now brought in the Navajo Nation Board of Election Supervisors and the Navajo Nation Election Administration. And I suppose that somewhere in here, they're basically saying, also, you know what, we've gone through all of this. So now we have an outstanding bill, and you're going to have to pay it. And so that's part of the settlement. But yet at the same time, they're also filing to show cause. The show cause is whether or not the election, today is the 29th. The 31st is on Friday. And the election is November 4th. So the 31st, now we got from that day, depending on what happens, we have, you know, unfortunately falls on a Friday, and now we have 1, 2, 3, 4 days before whether or not we're going to find out that if our justices, or I mean our election administration and the board of, and all the three name entities are going to be in jail. We don't know that. I hope it doesn't go that crazy, but then we don't know what's going to happen. Now, on the other side of the thing now is that now that the president has vetoed this thing, it's going back to the Navajo Nation Council. The Navajo Nation Council is basically saying that we are the legislative body. We should be the one that's going to be determining exactly what language fluency means. And therefore, we have a problem here. And so all we're doing is trying to remedy this thing so that we can move forward. So they, through Leonard Sosie, said today in an interview that I made, and it's quite lengthy, and I was going to play that, but I don't think we have time at this point because it goes on for 45 minutes. But I'll just paraphrase some of the statements that Mr. Leonard Sosie said in there. We are going to have a session, and this session is going to be on Monday, November 3rd. And this session is to address the veto of President of Navajo Nation, or President of Navajo Nation, Ben Shelley. and we are going to override it. But in this case, it's not going to be a simple majority. It's going to be a super majority. Super meaning that they have to have a two-thirds majority. The last time the vote went down is 10-10. 10 against it, 10 for it, and one missing, Dwayne Sinajini, who wasn't there. I don't know where he went. And then we have two council delegates who are actually two seats that have that are empty. One happens to be my chapter, Sinasti, and Cove and that whole area that David Tom used to represent. And also the other one is Johnny Naze's area, which is, I think is Cottonwoods, that whole area. So we have two major areas of Navajo people who don't have a voice on this particular case. So is there also another legitimacy issue there when you don't have a full council? So nonetheless, and then how does all of these resolutions that say, yes, we should move Chris Dischitney furthered along on this issue? So there's all of these things that we need to explore. Remember, Friday is the day that they're having a hearing in the Supreme Court with Chris Dischitney and the Navajo Nation Election Administration, the Navajo Nation Board of Election Supervisors. So they are going to, depending on what's going to happen, but I hear that if they don't show cause and things go, I guess the worst scenario is that they will be put in jail. I'm not sure if I'm totally correct on that or not. I hope it doesn't happen. And then on Monday, the Navajo Nation Council is going to come together to override Ben Shelley's veto. And the next day, November 4th, is the election. Now, how fair is this election going to be? Within 5 days, when we've got this whole legal proceedings that are going on, and we've got many different parties that are going in there, and I'm saying to all of them, ladies and gentlemen, whose order is going to supersede who, and whose veto or whose vote is going to stand? And so the key here is that this override, if this override happens, then I suppose we're having an election. But is it going to be postponed, or are we going to proceed with November 4th? The other scenario is that if there is no override, then Chris Dischitney is really disqualified. He has absolutely no other option. And then Russell Begay gets moved up. But in all fairness, in whichever argument that you people out there have presented, and I see it, you see it, they see it, everybody see it, I'm sure that Russell Begay's people, you know what, he's been sitting on the sideline wanting to know what was going to happen. Or, you know what, and this thing is now dragging on, and is it fair? Because one candidate who has been unaffected, which is Joe Shirley, has been campaigning all along, and, and so the time of the fairness and the amount of time to do the campaign is obviously going to be a factor. So Russell Begay comes in. Well, how much time do we give him to prepare for his candidacy? And so the amount of time that it's extended, and then on the other side is then it goes into the then it gives the other candidate, which is Joe Shirley, that more or that additional time to even campaign. So some very, 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 very interesting scenarios, ladies and gentlemen. The lines are open, 347-989-0048, and please be ready to answer my call when I bring you on. You should get some sort of a notice on here that says that you are going live, you can hear my voice, and all of that. I don't know what buttons that you've pushed over there, but you show up on my on my console here, and so it looks like this telephone caller might be from Las Vegas. The telephone number, your last four digit is 4171. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, the official Navajo talk radio hosted by Cal Nez, and I'm Cal Nez, and thank you very much for listening in and being on the show. And so when I bring you on, please give us who you are, your full name, and where you're calling from, and fire away. So caller, can you hear me? 4171. 4171. Yate?
Yeah. Oh, yate. Darlene Silversmith. In the show.
Hi, Darlene.
Hi. I've been in Portland for the last weekend, so I didn't know anything about what was going on when I left. So I was asking a Navajo friend out there in Portland, you know, what's going on now, and then he told me about the legislation that was put on President Shelley's desk, that they were waiting for him to sign or veto it or approve it. So I'm glad you went over everything that's been going on in the last couple of days, I think. I read a blog today, somebody who put it in perspective. I don't know who wrote the blog, but the last name was Yazzie. And it made me think, you know, that about Christus Cheney. It's unfortunate that to me that all these people are going to jail for him. If I was running, I would not ask anybody to go to jail for me. I'm glad to see that they're following through with the contempt of court. I don't like to see that happen, but they brought it on themselves by not complying with the Navajo Supreme Court's decision. But it'll be interesting to see what their reason is on Friday, why they put their credibility on the line for that. If I was Chris, I would stop, because you're just putting too many people in jeopardy, I think, anyway.
Very interesting angle that you bring out, because, so in other words, what you're saying is that, you know what, just like Al Gore did when we had that election, when it all came down to, this is like several years ago when he was running against George W. Bush, when there was when the hanging chads were in big question, and we didn't know where the votes was going to go. He could have just contested this thing over and over and over again, and he eventually just said, you know what, no, just for the sake of the betterment of the country, I concede. And he allowed George W. Bush to become the president. So you're saying that Chris ought to just do the same thing?
Well, if I were him, that's what I would do. You know, obviously he doesn't feel that way. you know, it's really, you know, I can't judge him. I just know from my perspective, I would not ask anybody to jeopardize their reputation, their character, all that they have worked for, just like the election board and the appeals people and everything, even himself. I mean, that's what the blog said. He's even put in his own license to practice law in jeopardy. You know, it's that you better have a good cause. You know, you better have a winning cause to do that. You know, that's what I think. You better have, you know, luck on your side and everything. You know, to push through like that, and that's
yeah.
just the way I feel. You know, it's, anyone else, I'm sure the people who voted for him have a different point of view, but you still have to see the whole kind of global view, I guess. You have to see the whole chessboard. You have to see where each move you make is going to lead to another move, and pretty soon, you know, we'll have utilized all our moves, and you better be the winning party if you're going to, you know, cost people important their character and stuff like that. So it's sad that it's come this far,
mm-hmm.
especially for the board. You know, I'm sure they believe in him, but it's not worth putting your professional career on the line, because from what I understand, people not only want them charged with contempt, some of the people anyway, but they also want them never to be able to be elected anywhere else again.
Yeah. Well, based on this, as I read this thing, it doesn't say anything about that they can't serve, but I think that to show cause, I guess it's going to be another issue. What I'm going to do is I'm going to leave you on the phone. I'm going to bring another caller in.
Okay.
And so the caller, looks like they're calling from Arizona, 7612, 7612. I'm sure you can hear me. And let's just all three of us talk about this thing. You heard what Darlene said, and I read all of this. And caller, can you hear me? 7612. Hello? Caller. Okay. I guess they are gun-shy, but I can hear them. So what Darlene is saying is, you know, is that right now this has gotten so out of hand that, you know what, let's just, you know, the honorable thing to do at this point is for Mr. Descheny just to say, hey, you know what, let's just, you know, let me just step aside rather than hurting, getting this whole thing, the whole Navajo Nation further divisive, and, you know, things just going down the pike, so to speak. I'll just step aside. And so that's the first that I'm hearing in terms of that, like, it depends on exactly what's included in that order to show cause. So how did you interpret that that was, that they're not going to... That they won't be able to serve in other capacities. Darlene?
I just heard other people saying that. I really don't know how they get on the board. I suppose they're appointed, or I'm not sure. I don't think having I'm not sure what the contempt is, misdemeanor or a felony, I'm not sure. I would hope it's a misdemeanor to be held in contempt of court. But again, if it's it's also against the Navajo tribe. Your loyalty is also jeopardized. You're not seen as loyal to the Navajo Nation anymore either. If it's any type of elected position, I would suppose, just like the president, you know, you cannot be seen as disloyal.
Hmm.
And this has made a lot of people, you know, want to almost, I hope it doesn't get to that point, but it's gotten people, you know, not to riot stage, but it could get there, I suppose. It depends on how the people who voted for him get so angry about it. But there's still, you know, a large number of voters out there. It's not a small percentage, but it's not the whole voter number that's being represented, you know, through their votes.
Yeah. Listeners, you can call in. There's a lot of people listening on the computer, and I can see that. And you're welcome to engage, and I appreciate Darlene being with us and sharing her opinions, and I'm going to just, you know, keep her on the live. But there's also another caller that's also live right now, but they're not speaking, and their number is 7612. So I'm still looking for other callers, and you're welcome to to engage in this discussion. There was something very, very interesting that Leonard Sosi said today, and the language that is now written, I mean, it's the qualification for Navajo Nation president and vice president. It basically, number three, it says, must fluently speak and understand Navajo and read and write English. But they added language to that, which I read, which is basically putting the determining factor into the voter. If the voter determines whether or not a candidate is fluent. So if somebody who comes in and thinks that, okay, well, you know what, even though this guy has the ability to memorize and write down Navajo and can read from the podium, even though he might not understand, like I can go in there and probably I might not enunciate right, but I can probably get a speech prepared, memorize it in Spanish or French, and deliver that. People out there can probably understand me, but am I able to, does that make me fluent? What do you think about that? Darlene?
I've taken 2 years of French, but I've watched French movies and I cannot, maybe every fifth word I recognize, but 2 years of French is not enough to make me fluent. It's a good start. It helps me to be able to, it propels me into the language so that I can at least converse in a simple way, like a child would. But it's not enough for a child to be able to speak at the level of a medicine man. You know, it's just not gonna happen.
So if you don't speak like a medicine man, then you're not fluent.
It has to come out smoothly. I mean, it has to be it has to be natural. That you don't really have to think in another language in order to interpret it into in your head to another language, which is what I understand people, you know, have to do. Even if I was speaking French, I think in English, okay, how do I say this in French? And then say it, you know, from reasoning how it, this is, you know, this is the word for this is it, and, you know, c'est la vie, you know. If you say it often enough, then you don't have to think about saying a phrase. You just say it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to think about it, then it's not. It's like a nature to you. And especially if you have to think about, that's what's unique about the Navajo language is the high tones, the glottal stops, and all that other stuff. You have to also remember. It's not just reading it and saying it. And you and the alphabet or the letters used for reading Navajo don't sound like English alphabet at all. It's on a whole totally different level. That's where some people, a lot of Navajos get thrown. Is A is not A. A is ah, you know.
Or,
and we only have four vowels, you know.
E is, or no, I is E. Or how does that go? See,
well,
we don't even know how to even.
A-E-I-O is ah eh eh o. Well, maybe O is, maybe sounds like O, but the rest is,
yeah.
You know, it's not like English at all. And people still think they can read Navajo, too, you know, by the English. You can't. You just can't. They're just it's just going to frustrate you. And then, of course, the consonants, you know, if you think the vowels are hard, the consonants are even, you know, worse. We have double letter, consonants, G-H and T, P, I think that's a glottal stop S or TS together, and then the L slash. You know, it just isn't like English at all. So how can a person read that and also to ask them to be fluent in that too as well? I mean, pretty much. I don't even think the writing of Navajo is even as accurate as the sounds, the actual the sound of Navajo of people who speak Navajo and don't read it. They sound, I think having to read it, they get all mixed up, and even if you try to pronounce it. Just by reading it, you won't sound like you speak good Navajo because it just takes time to get the ups and downs and the high A's and the low A's and then the nasal part of it, you know, the nasalized letters that that's why it's one of the most difficult languages in the world. So maybe they should consider that is the difficulty, learning the language, learning it versus growing up in it. Growing up in it, you have a natural tendency to speak it easily because you hear it, you know, the different sounds. But if you spoke English and you're learning it or any other language, and you're learning it in your later years.
What do you think about the? What do you think about Ben Shelley's veto?
You know, I kind of figured he was going to veto it. And I think that's a good thing. I think that people should decide. They serve us. The people. So him. But then again, you know, what's going to say, you know, what's going to happen on Monday? It may be overridden, you know, but it sounds like it might be kind of hard to get a two-thirds majority from the council delegates. So if it was 10 and 10 last time, I have a feeling my guess is that it's going to go to the people. And my guess, once it goes to the people, it's going to be for fluency. I don't think it's going to be proficient. It's going to stay fluency. I think there's
Go ahead.
What's that? I think there's a large contingency of Navajos that aren't speaking that want it to stay the same. You know, I'm hearing what I'm seeing on the internet are people saying, "If it should change, it should change." You know, we need to support the young people. We need to support those urbanized Navajos who want to come back. You know, and all that. But I think there's a large number that vote and that live here and are involved, and they will vote for fluency. I don't know if that's just for the president or elected positions. But at least for president, I know they're going to. I don't know if you heard the latest. What is it? The motor vehicle department is now not going to assist Navajos who speak only Navajo. They're not going to assist them in trying to get their IDs or licenses now. And I don't know if that's true, but that's what I saw on the internet. And I said, that's crazy. You know, they don't assist people who speak Navajo fluently, or that's the only thing they have. And now we're talking about having a president who can speak fluent Navajo. You know? We have to protect the language. We have to. And of course, the state is obviously not feeling that way, and I've seen a lot of talk about that too. That the language that saved America is being disrespected in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all you callers or all you listeners out there, you're welcome to engage. Right now, we're talking about the Ben Shelley's veto. The telephone number here is 347-989-0048. And we've got so far, I'm seeing a lot of listeners out there who are listening in. I thank you. But I need to have more people who can come to the forefront and talk and express and share their opinions. Darlene is right now. We have another caller who is listening, but they're not saying anything. Caller, are you brave enough to come forward and say hi to us and where you're calling from? 7612. Hello? So I guess they're still hanging on. Very interesting. Friday is the hearing, 2 days away. And then from Thursday, or from that time, then Monday, the Navajo Nation Council is going to go into session to try to override it. And whichever way it goes, then the very next day, November 4th, is when the election is supposed to take place. And so by the time we get done, this thing could go drag into this thing. And how much time do we give Russell Begay to campaign? And is it fair that he is only going to be given, one day, if they're not going to move the... Or look at another scenario, too, is that if we put... if there's no... if the three entities that were named, including Christus Cheney, if they don't show cause of whatever they're asking for from the attorneys of Hank Whitethorn and Dale Filsey, then what could possibly happen is that, the worst scenario is that they'll be thrown in jail. And how long they'll be in jail is probably going to be some bailouts and all of this. And so... depending on how things are on Monday and then Tuesday. This thing just could be absolutely crazy. We only have about 14 minutes left. And so Darlene, I will give you some more time to see, have you, well, actually what I'm going to ask you is this, is that, you know, like I said all along, first of all, you know, for me, I don't have anything against Chris Dischini or anybody who doesn't speak Navajo. I love my Navajo people. Whether they speak Navajo or don't speak Navajo, it's unfortunate that some of them don't speak. But I think this is a good test. It is a good reminder for the Navajo people that they need to look at their culture and see how much they're going to work and whether they're going to look at this thing, or is it just a political upheaval saying that, you know what, we're going to teach, and once we're over this thing, then we're going to go back and, you know, go back to our non-speaking ways. Or is it going to be something really that's going to make where everybody, every school is going to, you know, make this thing a very, very important part of their curriculum? So there's all these things to look at. So please keep in mind, it is, to me, I don't think it is a discrimination issue. I think it goes back to, here's the facts. You look at number three, when it was, which was must fluently speak and understand Navajo. That right there was written, but when it was challenged, there was no documentation, there was no rules, no anything to back up this law. And then it also says the nomination election administration says that if there's an issue, we got to file it with Office of Hearing and Appeals. So they took it over there and they dismissed it. The Office of Hearing and Appeals said, okay, when you dismiss it, you, if you want to appeal this thing, if we dismiss it, you can appeal it. You can appeal it to the Navajo Nation Supreme Court. So everybody is following the steps. So they did. And when it came into the hands of the Supreme Court, they picked it up and said, oh, okay, well, wow. You know what? So they threw it back over there talking about the fluency. And so another, so all of that mechanism right there is ongoing. And then all of a sudden the council says, oh, hey, by the way, you know, this legislation is in our hand. Now, if the Navajo Nation Supreme Court said, let's take this situation and we'll give it, we'll turn this over to the Navajo Nation Council. Now, that's a different story, but that didn't happen. They took it over to Office and Hearing. But my disappointment was that I was hoping to have the Navajo Nation Board of Election or somebody from that office say, you know what, we all need to get together and resolve this thing, what would be the best outcome. But they basically went in there and said, you know what, we're our own entity. And because we're our own entity, we're going to flex our muscle, and this is how we're going to go. So, which has created everybody's digging in their heels. And here's another thing that everybody needs to be aware of. The Navajo, okay, there's three branch government. The Navajo Nation Office of Election Administration and the Board of Supervisors is under the Legislative Services. Think about that. And their council, the nomination council, has an attorney. That same attorney also represents the Nomination Board of Elections and the Board of Supervisors. Now, keep in mind also, when you go over to the Nomination Office of Hearing and Appeals, that is not a real court. But whether it's a real court or not, but they've been given jurisdiction to be able to administer, and that's why they're called hearing and appeals. And the person who's been hired in there, I'm sure there's a job description. but they're doing their job as to what the, it says. That office, the Navajo Nation Office of Hearing and Appeals, is under the executive branch. Think about that. Okay? If that is an area where cases or appeals or issues is adjudicated, shouldn't that have been over under, should they have been under the Navajo Nation judicial branch? So now we've got different scenarios and people are under certain, so now this is, it's just absolutely convoluted. Very interesting. So I'm not going to go there and make assumption that it was, did somebody get influenced by so-and-so and so-and-so, but you know what? It goes back. Darlene, I'm going to ask for your opinion on this. We have 7 minutes on the show. You're driving down the road, and you're going 90, not, okay, maybe you don't drive that fast. Let's go 80 miles an hour. Right there between Yatehe Junction and the and Window Rock. And all of a sudden, just right after the Black Mesa turn off, you see a red light behind you. That area is 55 miles an hour. No, 65. So you're going over the speed limit, ma'am. And you plea with a police officer. So, officer, I've got these turkeys right in front of me or in back of my car. I don't want them to thaw. I'm taking them to the senior citizen, and they're waiting for me over there right now. I'm doing a good deed. And the officer still says, you know what? You are still violating the law no matter how good of intention you still drove over the speed limit. What do you suppose? See, that's where I keep saying, let's look at the letter of the law and the principle of the law. In your case, do you think it's fair to other people who got caught speeding or DUI or whatever it is, do you think it was fair to them if the council or whoever the Supreme Court or whoever gets involved on your behalf and say, no, you need to let her go because she was hauling turkey. So maybe we should make an exception that if you're hauling turkey for the senior citizen, you will give you a pass. Isn't that essentially what this whole scenario is about?
You mean the pass is given to Chris?
Well, isn't that what the council is trying to do? Hey, you know what? There's a law flawed, so in order, let's make this thing happen, and so let's tweak the law. Or back into your case of speeding, if Darlene if a citizen is driving over the speed limit, they will be ticketed and yada yada yada. But it's going to be left to the discretionary of the people who are, you know, and if they're doing a good deed, maybe we should just, you know. Yes. Do you think that this is what it's all about?
Yeah, I think there's several things that are obviously going on. Like you were saying, you don't want to talk about you don't want to mention who's doing what, but there is something going on I'm not privy to, you're not privy to, maybe, I don't know, maybe you are, but that's what the majority of people who are for decrease are thinking, that there's a, maybe it's the old guard or whatever, you know, the buddies, what is it, the good old boy system or something that's keeping him from being on the ballot. I mean, that's, people aren't saying that, but that's what I get from the people in the Cheney camp, that he's being prevented from being a part of the political process because he doesn't fit to certain standards.
Yeah, I've got another caller that I'm just bringing on,
okay.
And it is, we've got 3 minutes left, and you know what, caller 1029, that phone number looks very familiar, so you can jump in on this discussion at any time. We only have about 2 minutes left, so caller, can you hear me? I can hear you, so I know you can hear me.
Yeah, this is me. I just turned in this while ago. I was at church service. And I'm ready for a discussion, even though I have 2 minutes.
Now, who am I talking with?
This is Richard McGee.
Oh, yes,
Raymond.
Oh, Richard. We only have 2 minutes. So President Shelley vetoes this legislation. Shananta, what do you think about it?
I guess I thought his case, and he talked to his lawyer, his people, and he's not the only one made decision. It's his group that made decision. Maybe he thought that he had a chance to run against Ben Shelley because all these people like Russell McGee, Donald, and Edison, if they go out, he has a shot to run for the president again. Maybe that's why he vetoed. And so it took him 2 days to think about it, and with his advisor. That's why I'm thinking.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
So 90 seconds right now. So what you're saying is that I appreciate you calling in, by the way. We only have, like I said, 90 seconds. So what you're saying is that if he vetoes it, goes back to the council, and whatever happens, but the assumption is that Russell and everybody in front of Ben Shelley is going to eventually get knocked off, so it's going to come back to Ben Shelley versus Joe Shirley. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I believe that, and that's why he's thinking, and because he talked to his advisor, because he's the only one make decision. He has his advisors and all that. He has to call in his lawyers, the Washington lawyers, to make decision for him.
Wow. Interesting. Well, you only have about 15 seconds. What do you got to say? Go for it. Your last closing.
The veto is not going to work overnight because we don't have the nothing. Then I don't know what's going to happen Friday. And we're the United States citizen, and we vote. And our voting is being violated. I stand by that. And our vote needs to be counted. And we're violation. So, super violation. They're breaking our rights. That's why I think.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. That was, thank you. We'll be talking about this again tomorrow and see what happens. We'll get in preparation to Friday. Sure, I hear from Chris Eschidi's camp. And again, thank you, all you listeners out there and callers, Mr. Begay, Mrs. Silver. There's a lot of people listening, but unfortunately they're not calling in. And I suppose that's okay. So I can carry this on. So that concludes this show. I will be on again tomorrow night. Okay, Lana. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, brought to you by Cal Nez Design and hosted by Cal Nez himself.